And so here today together, we are a Kingdom Caucus. And the question that you might be having in your mind, as I did, is what is a caucus anyway? What is a caucus? A caucus, the best way that I can explain a caucus is that it is a gathering or a group of people in a community who have the same shared interests and the same shared values and the same shared concerns. It is when they gather together, a gathering of neighbors in a community that gather together to talk about, to discuss, and to really agree on what they support and who they support. All right? And so we are together here, the Iowa caucus. No, we're not. We're here together as a Kingdom Caucus. The community gathering of the people of God who exist in His community, people of His community coming together, gathering together every Sunday morning, really, to discuss and to agree together on who we support, why we support them, because we all have the same shared values and concerns and interests, and that is the interests of our King. So this morning I will not be persuading your vote in any direction. I will not be endorsing a particular candidate up here from the pulpit. But this morning, as the Kingdom Caucus, we are here to endorse the King of Kings only. The King of Kings. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at our, we're going to kind of zoom out of these current events that we are in. And we're going to zoom out and we're going to look at the earth and the events that are happening on the earth from God's perspective. Does that sound all right? Awesome. Now, I understand the pressure of getting caught up in worrying about the effects of this election that we may be facing, that we're facing right now, and the future of our country. My kids are young, and so these things are concerns of mine. What kind of world are my kids going to be growing up in? And so I understand the pressure of getting caught up and really worrying and having angst and anxiety about, oh my goodness, what is about to happen? But the call of God to His people that we're going to see this morning is not to live in fear. It's not to live in angst and worry, but to place our confident hope and trust in His redemptive plan. Because our hope is not in an elected president. Our hope is in a soon returning King who already stands victorious over all things. And we could easily look at the events of this world and in this country and the events in our country and think, oh God, this is getting out of control. God, you're starting to lose control of this thing. You know, we may not say it, but we've all had those kind of thoughts in our minds that this is getting out of control. What is going to happen? But I want you to know this, and this is what I hope brings ease to everyone's mind this morning, and the Word of God is there to bring peace to us and to bring us joy and to give us hope. That the events around this world are not out of control for God. What we see happening before us is not God losing control of this earth, but what we see is God's redemptive plan unfolding before our eyes. That is what we see. And this truth should give us at rest, it should give us hope, it should give us joy, and really should enable us by this truth to be the authentic representation of His kingdom and Him on this earth. When we have that perspective, it helps us to be the people that God intends and created us to be. Make no mistake about it this morning that God, who created the entire cosmos, is sitting at the highest place of authority, and this earth and all that goes within it is under His authority and under His rule. Make no mistake about it. The God who created everything that we see that is physical before us, He does not only rule and reign over all of the spiritual, but He rules and reigns over all that is physical, because this is His created hand all around us. This is the work of His hand, and so the work of His hand, He has control, and He has rule and reign over it all. So God rules and reigns over all that is spiritual and all that is physical. Psalm 22, 28. Says that for dominion belongs to the Lord and He rules over the nations. I'm going to be going through a lot of scriptures this morning, so if you're taking notes, you might want to write them down so you can go back and look at them this week. There's also an app on your phone, the Cornerstone app, where you can take notes to write these things down, because I'm going to go be moving through some scriptures pretty quickly. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6 tells us that God rules over all the kingdoms of the nations. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that Jesus is before all things, and that in Jesus, all things are held together. You see, God is not sitting on his throne right now, hoping and wishing that the right person gets voted into office, as Grace prayed this morning. He's not biting his nails in anticipation as if what the outcome might be. As if he will be distraught if one person gets voted in or the other person. But what we're going to look at is that these current events from God's perspective, and what we're going to see this morning is God's perspective is an eternal perspective. You see, God does not exist in our understanding of time and space. He is eternal. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He existed before the earth. He will exist when the earth is gone. He has created everything. He exists. He is the great I Am. He is and he will be and he always will be. Amen? And so when we look at the events of this world, it's so important that we see the events of this world from his eternal perspective, that we zoom out and say, okay, God, how does what is happening right now in our earth, in our planet, how does this all fit into your incredible cosmic and redemptive plan? He rules and reigns over this world, over everything that happens in this world and within this world. And he rules over it from this position of eternity. Psalm 145 tells us that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures through all generations. There will be no end to the kingdom of God. There will be no end to his kingdom. It will always exist. Amen? And so what we can have is confidence this morning that God is in complete control, not only with our individual lives, but with every event in human history. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me to the book of Daniel, we're going to be using Daniel as sort of the central theme of this morning's message. Daniel chapter 2. Now for Daniel, when we talk about the sovereignty of God and God having complete control and reign over all things, for Daniel, the sovereignty of God isn't even a question. It's not even something that needs to be debated. There's no ambiguity for Daniel to say that God is not in control of all things. And so we see that in the book of Daniel and how he lived his life. When you see the way he lived his life amongst in a nation where he had been completely... All right, so the nation of Israel had been overthrown by the Babylonians. The Babylonians come in and they sweep them out and they drive the Israelite nation into exile. And they scatter them all throughout and then they enslave some of them. Okay? And so here is God's chosen people. The God of this universe, the God who has chosen the nation of Israel so that his redemptive plan would come through this nation of Israel. And here is this Babylonian empire who comes in and just sweeps the land out of the promised land that God had given them. And you can imagine being one of these people and saying, here we are, we exist in the promised land, we are in motion, we are in alignment with the promises of God, here we are. And this Babylonian empire comes in and just sweeps you out of it. Sends you into exile, enslaves you, casts other ones out, just scatters them out across the land. And Daniel, we see Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they serve as a great example for what it looks like to live a life of faith in the midst of an increasingly depraved world. In an increasingly hostile land, what it means to serve God and to live by faith, knowing that no matter what is happening in front of us right now, God is still on the throne. He will always be on the throne. He will never be removed from his throne. And so that we should be those representative people in that time and in that period and in that context of people who are going to live lives that proclaim and declare that God is on the throne. Amen? And so he was able to live in such a way where this was evident, and he actually served under four kings and emperors, and he served them faithfully. He served them diligently. He was honest and responsible to the empire that destroyed his home and his land and his people. And he was able to do this because he knew that God reigns supreme in heaven. And so what we're going to look at this morning is that human government and the events of the world and the events of who is placed into power and appointed into power is authorized by God, as Grace was praying this morning. In the sovereignty of God and his ability to have control over all human events and history events, God is in control of what is happening. God is in control of what is happening. So a little bit of more context of Daniel chapter 2 is where we're going to read. King Nebuchadnezzar is now the king, the Babylonian Empire. All right, and so King Nebuchadnezzar has these dreams, and it says in chapter 2, verses 1, that these dreams are absolutely troubling to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's got to find out, he's losing sleep over it, and he's got to find out, what is the meaning of these dreams that I'm having? And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he summons the magicians, he summons the sorcerers, and he summons the astrologers, and he says, look, I need you guys to tell me what my dream is to put my mind at ease. And they're like, we can't do that. He says, well, I need you to. He says, you have to. And he actually says, you have to, and if you don't, I'm going to cut you into pieces and your houses will be turned into piles of rubble. He's serious about this. Sorry. He's absolutely serious. These are troubling dreams because he knows their significance, and he's saying, I need someone to tell me what I just dreamed and what it means. And so they were unable to do that. There's like, this is an impossibility. There's no way any person could do this. Well, Daniel comes on the scene, and he's somebody who's seen as wise in the land of Babylonia. And he asks the king, and he says, King, if you would just give me just a little bit of time, let me seek the Lord and really find out what it is that your dreams of. Give me some time. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you some time. And Daniel goes to sleep, and he goes home that night, and he wakes up, and he has a dream. And he's excited about this dream, and this is where we're going to pick up. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, it says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. It is he who changes the times and the season. It is he who sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and what light dwells with him. And so here we see that God is the one who authorizes the removal and the appointing of those who are in power. He's the one who authorizes it. That word there for king, it extends to highest of government officials as well. So we don't have kings in our land, but we do have highest of government officials. And so it says here that God is the one who is in human government. He is the one that authorizes who is in place and who is not in place. He appoints those who are in place, and then he disposes of them who are in place. A similar verse is found in Romans 13 where it says, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So let's read a little further on in Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. Here we see Daniel, he's telling King Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom and his power was given to him by God. And he says, you, O king, in verse 37, he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, you, O king, are a sort of king of kings. The God of heaven is the one who has given you domain and power and might and glory. And in your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and wherever they live. He has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. All right, so we're beginning to see that God is the one who is the supreme ruler over kingdoms of humanity. It is by his hand, it is by his authority that anyone on earth is appointed into power and leadership. And so now before you go on and ask that question that might be running through everybody's head, how could a good God allow such terrible people into power? Just hold on just for a minute, okay? In Daniel chapter 4, let's move on. Let's continue through this story. Daniel is interpreting another dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has. And he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar about this calamity and the consequences that he is going to experience. And he says this in chapter 4. He says in chapter 4, verse 25. He says, you will be driven away. This is Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's interpreting his dream. He says, you will be driven away from people, and you will live with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And seven times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High is supreme over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whoever he wishes. Until you acknowledge that the Most High is supreme over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Two more times Daniel repeats this. In verse 32, in the fulfillment of this dream, and it actually happens to King Nebuchadnezzar. He actually is sent out, and he actually does live with the cattle, and he does eat grass. And I love this in verse 34, if you're following along. He says, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored, and then I praised the Most High, and I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. This is King Nebuchadnezzar now. After he just suffered all that calamity and the consequences of his actions, here it is, and he says, His dominion, speaking of God, is an eternal dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? What have you done? You know, we talk about the sovereignty of God. It means that God, as the ruler of the universe, the one who created all things, has the right to do whatever he wants. He's God. And furthermore, he is in complete control over everything that happens. Complete control. He's not losing control. He is in complete control. And everything that takes place, this is the beautiful part about it, is all headed into this amazing crescendo where God will establish His kingdom on this earth, the Bible says. And on that day when Jesus returns, God will be all in all. And here's the beautiful part about it, is that on that day, it says that every injustice will be made right. Every wrong will be made right. He is the one who brings complete reversal, complete redemption, complete restoration to all that has gone wrong. He is the one who brings the good into all that is bad. He is in control, and His redemptive plan is at work, and there's nothing that is going to stop His redemptive plan. God is orchestrating the events of earth into something that is going to be giving Him all the glory, to one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that You are God and You are the only God. That is what He's working towards right now. That is what He's working towards. Every wrong will be made right. Every injustice that has ever been will be met with perfect justice. Because our God, as the just ruler, the Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. This is how He rules. This is how He reigns. And so every injustice that you can think of, and we examine this world and we're like, oh my goodness, what is going to happen? Every injustice will be met with perfect justice. Every single wrong that you can think of that is currently happening right now will be made right, because He is the God of everything. And He is a good God. He is an amazing God. Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven. He does what pleases Him. So God, if God is in control, why doesn't He eliminate the suffering in this world that we see? Why doesn't God eliminate all the evil and the suffering that we see? And as followers of Christ and as His children, the answer is that the human mind, we cannot grasp why God allows things to happen. Our minds are not able to grasp His infinite wisdom. He is wise beyond anything that we can even understand. We have a glimpse. We've been given, we've tasted and seen of His wisdom, and we've got a glimpse of it. But the Bible says in Isaiah, I believe it is, that your thoughts are so beyond my thoughts. Your wisdom is so far beyond my wisdom. Your ways are so far beyond our ways, God. Who could attain to knowing who you are and why you do the things that you do? And really, the answer to that question is not for us to know. It's not for us to know. Instead, we have been called by God to have faith and to live by faith and to express faith and to demonstrate faith and to demonstrate the values and the concerns and the interests of His kingdom. And we are here as His ambassadors, the people that He has chosen to represent His kingdom, to be like Daniel and his friends, to live in a hostile world representing His goodness, His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness. And we are the ones who are to demonstrate and to live by faith that God is the ultimate authority and that His redemptive plan is at work. Right now. At work right now. And God's plan is bigger than our circumstances and His wisdom is beyond our understanding. But I want you to understand this morning. I want you to see and take comfort in this. This is a comforting message. This is a message that should be filling you with peace and assurance because we have a hope that anchors us. A hope that anchors the anxiety of our minds and how when our minds get anxious and then they start to go in all these places that they shouldn't go about, oh my goodness, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? What is happening? This is your rock. This is your foundation. This is your hope. And that we can take comfort this morning that everything is in the hands of a perfectly infinite, wise, sovereign, and perfectly just God. And the fact is that in God's agenda, the empires of the world, they come and go, but they will be superseded by an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God that will never be destroyed. And we are here as the Kingdom Caucus, a gathering of the people of God, ambassadors of the kingdom. And this is our role. This is our role to tell, to teach, to share, and to connect others to this incredible hope that we have. You have an incredible hope this morning. You are the most hopeful people on the face of the earth. And there is a world that is looking at the events of this earth and they're saying, this is hopeless. This is hopeless. You are the ones that carry the hope. I believe it's in Galatians or Ephesians or something where God says that you are the carriers of hope. You are the ones who carry it with you. You're the ones that bring it with you into your workplace. You're the ones who bring it into your families. You're the ones who bring it into your neighborhood and into the other communities. You are carriers of this amazing hope that God is the one sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning, and that His redemptive plan will never be changed, but it is going forth and it is unfolding right now. And that everyone in this world can be a part and be included into this amazing hope because Jesus died for them as well. And when He died on the cross, He reversed all of that evil. He conquered it all and He stands victorious as the King. He is standing victorious. He is not waiting to be victorious. Understand that God, in His position of eternity, is standing victorious. It's already been done. It's been finalized. And so this is the hope that we have and that we can share and to spread to other people. That this is the hope that we have and it anchors our soul. Hebrews 6:13, I believe it is, it says that hope is the anchor of our soul. It helps us stand firm and secure. And so in these times that we can see as turbulent times, we can all agree it's turbulent times, right? We have an amazing hope. And that hope is there to bring you peace and comfort and to ease your mind. To ease your mind. This is the beauty of the Word of God. This is the good news that you and I hope for. This is the beauty that you and I have placed our faith in. This is the beauty that you and I live by. Daniel's visions proclaim that that God is sovereign over all kings and nations and empires. And the nation of Israel, they were waiting for this day when God would establish his kingdom on earth. They were waiting for this. They were anticipating it, and they were expecting it because God made a promise to them. And you guys, he says, they're going to be my people. And I'm going to bring my amazing promises to fruition. And Daniel even prophesies here in Daniel chapter 6 that he tells them, hey guys, you're going to have to wait a little longer, that this is actually farther away than you think. And he says, but in the meantime, the Israelites were to live out their faith in this Gentile world under circumstances that would make it even more and more difficult to do so. Sound familiar? This is the call of God to this people. In 2016, this is God's call to his people, to be people of faith who place their hope and trust in him, that no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, he rules and reigns, supreme and sovereign, in control of everything. The Israelites had to count on the sovereignty of God to sustain them, generation after generation, crisis after crisis. They had to trust that God had the power to control the flow of the world events, empires, kings. And I'm reminded of Jesus when he's standing before Pilate and awaiting his sentence in John chapter 19. And if you remember when Jesus is standing there, Pilate asks him a question. He says, do you not realize that I have the power to free you or to crucify you? And Jesus responds and he says, you have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. God is sovereign. His wisdom is supreme. And whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, please leave here knowing that God's actions are just. We may not be able to understand it. We may not be able to wrap our heads around it. But that's why he's God. And that's why we used to be just dust that he breathed life into. It actually humbles our hearts before him. It enables us to come into his presence in awe and reverence and say, God, you are so magnificent. You are so powerful. We don't understand your ways, but nonetheless, God, your will be done. And I will submit my will to your will. And I will act and live as you call me to act and live in this current time, in this current context. You created me to be alive at this moment in time in 2016 for that purpose, to declare your glory, to declare your hope, to declare your promises and to live my life that points to you. And so no matter how things turn out on Tuesday, or for any day of that matter, Jesus is still seated at the right hand. He is ruling and reigning over all that is his. The earth and all that is in it, and the universe and all that is in it is under his reign. That's comforting. And so regardless of how the outcome of Tuesday, Jesus will not have failed. Regardless of who wins on Tuesday, Jesus is still the King of Kings. He is still the Lord of Lords. And understand that political events have always been and always will be in the palm of his hands. He is in the, you always see that picture of the earth in God's hands. That's how it's working. He is the one who is orchestrating. Be certain that your faith and confident hope are in Jesus, the Lord over all life, in heaven and on earth. And remember that your citizenship is a dual citizenship, it says in Philippians 3:20. And we can be loyal to our country, but it must not be at the expense of pledging our ultimate allegiance to the King and saying, God, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I will always bow the knee to you first and foremost. And so as his Kingdom Caucus, our responsibility is to be his ambassadors who represent his values of love, faithfulness, grace, goodness, justice, and mercy. And remember, our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know what? We're just going to leave it there for this morning. We're going to leave it there this morning. Well, we need to respond to this in some way, and I think that the only proper way to respond to a message where we think about God and we kind of step out of our own worlds and we see God and His sovereign plan is to praise Him, is to sing to Him, is to glorify Him, is to actually to lift our voices to Him and to exalt Him. And so we're going to do that this morning. And so what I want to do is I want to ask you to stand with us. And Jay, if you would just bring that song and just bring it into the beginning. This is an exciting time. I want you guys to be excited. I want you guys to be at peace and confidence. This is a little bit of an upbeat song. All right, I didn't mean to bring you down, but I want you to see this song is to lift your spirits right now. This song is our King, the only King forever. So give Him all the praise. Give Him all the glory. Lift your name, lift His name up and focus on Him this morning. Amen? Amen.
You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20 says, behold, you have an anointing from the Holy One. So take it, right? Go from here as the people of God, knowing that He is with you, His face shines upon you, and He gives you great peace despite whatever contentions out there. Amen? So pray and don't debate. Pray and don't debate. Pray and don't debate.